Wow, what a wonderful time together praising the name of Jesus. Everything we've sung about is Jesus focused. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, and I believe he's already worked because Jesus has been exalted and honored in our praise and our worship this morning. And I'm just so grateful that we can be in an environment where there really are a people who worship Jesus Christ above all others as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Well, when Jesus was it was just after he'd done an amazing miracle. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And he had multiplied very little, a tiny piece of bread and a little piece of fish. And basically, when Jesus multiplied the bread and fish, people were like, this is an incredible experience. To have been there that day and to experience and have eaten that food that seemed to come out of nothing would have been astonishing. And so they came to Jesus, and they came to Jesus with a question. And they kind of seen this amazing sign and wonder, and they said, Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? What must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered in John 6:28. We read the answer of Jesus. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, to believe in the one he sent. To believe in the one he sent. And Jesus put the emphasis not on you can't do the works of God, because I believe that he wants all of us to do the works of God who believe in him. But the ones who do the work are those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is the work of God. And of course, we know that no one is made righteous by works, by effort, by doing a lot. We're only made right with God through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ. And just by faith, without lifting a finger, you and I are made right with God. And so that is the work of God, to believe. But Jesus went even further with his disciples in explaining about the works of God in John 14, verse 12. And John 14, verse 12 says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. I hope you've got your hearing ear open this morning to accept the word of God. Whoever believes in me will do the works of God, the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. What an incredible promise. Now, this isn't just to the apostles. You know, we look at the apostles and say how amazing they were. Set them up as examples in the early church, the leadership of the church. They were incredible. But Jesus doesn't say apostles will do. He doesn't say preachers, although apostles and preachers should also do. But he said whoever believes in me. Do you qualify? Do you qualify for the same works as Jesus? Now, you see, this can be a word that actually makes you think, or a word that you believe. There are two ways to approach the word of God. To say, oh, that would be nice. That'd be interesting to think about. And it's not a bad thing to think about, because it's good to think about multiplying resources to feed the hungry. It's good to think about raising the dead. It's good to think about healing blind eyes, making paralyzed people get up and walk. It's good to think about.
Yeah.
So they're good thoughts. But it's believing that Jesus said that we'll do the works. Whoever believes in me will do the works. The same works and even greater still. Paul said, and we were hearing such a great message last weekend about being crucified with Christ. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. So that's the first part of the good news, is that Jesus dealt with a sinner. He dealt with the sin. And I have been crucified. The sinner is dead. But the second part is how we live. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Well, it's no wonder we can do the same works, if the one who does the work lives in us. We're not the experts, he is. We're not the ones who does them, he does. But how did Paul say we are to live? The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in Jesus, in the Son of God. Well, where is the Son of God? In me, in you. Where is he? We don't have to go to heaven to get him, to come down. We don't have to go anywhere. He's here. In all who believe, Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith. And so Paul said, the issue of seeing the works of God, the issue of living the Christ life, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Christ lives in us through the Spirit he sent, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The life we now live, the issue is by faith. By faith. By faith. It's no wonder Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is in you, you can't please him in the way you live. And so the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who is present, able to do what we read in the Gospels and even greater things still in those who believe. Now, I recently was preaching somewhere, and in that environment, people had been taught wrong. And wrong teaching can really, really mess good people up. Good Christians can be messed up with wrong teaching. And they may have faith in Jesus, but they may have been taught things that are not true about what God's will is for people. And one of the things that I heard someone there believed in was that Jesus allowed people to suffer as part of his will for them with sickness. And so sickness was accepted in that person as the will of God for them. I know it's really noisy out there, but it's better in here because we're hearing the word of the Lord. Sickness was accepted to be the will of God for them. Well, then they could never come out of it with a miracle if that's what they had been taught. And I actually, during the preaching and teaching of God's word, I realized that the word of God, the truth about Jesus, didn't just come in a new way to these people. It came completely like a shock. Some of these good Christians believe that sometimes it's God's will to heal, and sometimes it isn't. And some of them believe that you needed a special visitation or revelation to get healed. And so if you were in God's good books, you'd get a light dawning, an angel come, I don't know, a heavenly choir strumming away, and God wants to heal you. Oh, good, you mean I'm the lucky one today? Like it's a lottery. The lucky one wins. And whilst I was teaching and preaching the truth that Christ died, which Isaiah tells us, for our sins and for the sins of all the world, and Christ didn't just take the sins and the sinners to the cross, he also took sicknesses, pain, curse, Satan, all demonic oppression, all brokenheartedness, all that was ever wrong with people, Jesus took it on himself and carried it away so that we can be the ones who receive health, brokenhearted, healed, freedom from tormenting spirits, deliverance completely from curse and darkness and despair. Jesus has made his will clear. And they got quite annoyed initially with the preaching because it wasn't what they had been taught. And I know sometimes, I remember when somebody told me God wants to heal everyone and I got a little bit offended because it wasn't my experience. And I began to argue with this person for a long time. And they rightly took me to the Word of God to discover the truth that Jesus didn't just die for all. When people came to him, he healed all. Not some, not most. All who came to him. And during the preaching, there was a couple there whose little boy had had 6 months of real infection and pain in his ear. And they tried medicine and they tried prayer. But when they prayed, they didn't pray knowing it was God's will. They prayed, "If it's your will, Lord." They put the "if" in the front. Not "your will be done," but "if." And nothing happened for 6 months because prayers aren't answered with ifs. They're only answered if you believe, only believe, okay? And so this couple, he used to be a drug addict, saved, and they're a great, they're a really exciting couple, actually. This couple went back to, the kids were with them at this conference, to the room and prayed differently from what they had been taught. And went to sleep, because the child was asleep when they prayed. The child had nothing to do with it, it was just the faith of the parents. And in the morning, a huge plug, probably of wax, I suppose, I don't know, had come out onto the pillow, and the pillow was wet through all the infection that had just come out of the child's ear. What must we do the works of God? To believe in the one he sent. And Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will do the same works as Jesus and greater still." It's believers that are the receivers and see the miracles, see the works of Jesus. And there was a guy who came to Jesus. You all know this, but let's look at this. Mark chapter 1, just a couple of verses. Mark 1. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. It says in this translation, Jesus was indignant, but actually the right translation means that he was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion, and he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be clean. Now, Jesus didn't just overlook the if in the leper. And Jesus doesn't overlook the ifs in our lives and in our hearts. That when we pray, whatever we're praying for, whether it's for healing, whether it's for a family situation, a marriage, whether it's for children, a church, a work colleague, whether it's the nation, Jesus goes for the if to remove it. He is not comfortable with ifs, which is why he corrected the leper's theology. And I trust he has corrected some of your theology, but maybe there needs to be a little bit of the if taken out so that you realize the truth that Jesus says, I will, I want to. It's my will. Because you see, if we ask anything, we need to be confident in the will of God, don't we? Not to be saying if. And if destroys faith. If you put if it is your will, it will destroy your faith. It's not might, it's not could, it's not maybe, it's I will. I believe that's a word for somebody here this morning or somebody who's listening to this podcast. I will. I am willing. I will. And Jesus demonstrated his will. But first, he dealt with the if. Imagine a wealthy man leaves a fortune. And everybody in the family actually is part of the will. And they all actually end up being written into the will. And we'll never get to the end of this fortune individually. A bit like Jesus, he died for us. And gives his family a fortune. Each one of us will never ever finish off the fortune. We won't be able to spend it all. It's that good. Okay? And if you went to speak to the inheritors, you know, they want the heirs. That's probably better English. Went to talk to the heirs. You would say, have you read the will? Well, no, and I don't know what's in it. But I know I'm rich. Well, what did he give you? I don't know. Wouldn't you say to them, it's time you read the will? So you find out what his will is or his will was. See, Jesus died and gave us an inheritance, his will. And this is his will. Peter says, these are the exceedingly great and precious promises. This is his will. Every promise has got God's big yes to it. I am willing, yes. Every promise you read, you need to hear Jesus say, I am willing, not if, maybe, might. Do I not need a special revelation to qualify? Well, the only qualification is to be in Christ. Is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You qualify for every promise. Because Scripture tells us that all, not some, not a few, but all the promises of God are yes. God's big yes. You know, let's go to a father and say, Dad, please, I'm hungry. Could I have a piece of toast? He's not going to go, nah. He's going to, yes. And you keep on asking. He goes, yes, of course you can. It's a big yes. Every promise is God's. Say to your neighbor, God's big yes to every promise. Every good thing is mine. See, we have to get rid of the ifs. For whatever we're needing in life, whatever we know that Jesus wants to do, if the if doesn't go, the believing won't happen. And believing is the only way to see the works of God. This is the work of God that you believe. And so Jesus is intent in all of our lives to get rid of the ifs and to bring us to real living faith that he will. I spoke to a guy this week. I'm just going to share another testimony. I'm thinking about changing my car. I went to a garage, and the guy, the salesperson, he was, he didn't seem to be at all well. And, I mean, his breathing was so labored, and I started, I need a good deal, and I'm still going for the good deal. So I'm not into, I'm into doing some good business. Because I don't want him to have my money. But there we go. So that's one side of it. But the other side was, do you know what? You're suffering. What's wrong with you? And he said, I've just come back from hospital tests. There's something seriously wrong with my lungs. I've got blood filling my lungs. I mean, and he looked extremely ill. And he said, I can show you a car. And I said, and I was like, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I don't want you to go outside. It's raining. He said, no. I'll take you. And I was like, because, I mean, he was struggling. And so we get to the car, sit in the car, and I'm going, nice. I need a deal. And I said to him, look, while we're here, because confined space. Gotcha. Because he's not with the showroom people. He's not going to be as embarrassed. And I'm looking at the steering wheel trying to, because you're not right in his face. Could I pray for you? Because he knows I'm a Christian minister. And once I told him that, he shut down pretty quick. But I thought, I'm going to go for it. Because I believe Jesus wants to heal everyone. Amen. Not just us. Right. Everyone that came to Jesus got healed. And he said, I mean, he got out of the car quicker than a bolt of lightning. He said, what in hell? Panic. Get the door. He ran out of the car. He said, let's go back into the office. And I thought, obviously, I touched a nerve. He doesn't want me to pray for him. But then when people reject you, it shouldn't change your heart for them. And I just had nothing but compassion because I know he was seriously ill. And so I went back and I said, let's agree in prayer. I'd love that guy to receive a miracle. And we prayed believing. Well, I rang the next day to organize something, and I said to him, how are you feeling? Are you feeling any better? And he said, I'm just like another person. I don't know what's happened to me. He said, somebody must have been praying. You see, there was no medicine. He wasn't taking any medicine. There was nothing but prayer that you could attribute that to. You see, I believe that Jesus wants people well. I believe it. And when we believe, my goodness me, we're going to get an explosion of miracles. As we go believing and praying for the sick, because we need to be showing our faith by what we do. And I was overjoyed that man now knows whether he receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Well, I might get another opportunity with him. You never know. But he already knows that there is a God in heaven who loves him enough to heal him. That will be a sign in his life right the way through his days. You see, we have to know the will of God first. You cannot have faith without knowing God's will. And God's will can only be found in Scripture. You can't find it in yourself. You can't find it just by being really spiritual. Just go to the Bible, read it, and find a promise. And even easier than that, Google it. You know, you have a need, Google it. Somebody's. And get a verse, go to your Bible, read it, and say, Lord, that's your will. I need to know it. And that's the first thing. If we're going to believe, be believing believers is what I'm saying. You're going to need to be to know the will of God. Know. And we need to know what the promises are. If you don't have a promise for a need you've got, or something that you want God to do that you know kind of generally is his will, I counsel you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you to know what God's will is. You don't need to make it up. This is better than make up stuff. The word of the promises are great and precious. There's promises for marriage, promises for those who are waiting for God's provision for their partners in life. There are promises for children. There are promises for businesses. There are promises for churches. There are promises for houses. There are promises for land. There are promises for the lost. There's promises to heal the sick. There's promises, promises, promises everywhere. And you have to know it before you can believe. So that's the first thing. Be clear-minded and get to know. Like that leper, Jesus cleared up his understanding of the knowledge of God's will. Took the if out and said, there's no ifs. I know his will. Amen. Tell your neighbor next. Just say, I'm going to get rid of every if. So first we need to know it. It's going to be a rhyme today, guys. Secondly, we need to sow it. First, know it. Secondly, sow it. Sow the promise. Sow the word of God. Jesus said that the seed, the farmer that goes out to sow seed, the seed is the word of God, so it's so divine seed. It's God's word. If you sow God's word, God's promise, then it has the power or the potential to produce the results. But no seed works without soil. And Jesus said the soil is your heart. And the only way we can believe, Scripture says, is with the heart. With the heart you believe. And therefore the seed or the word needs to enter into your heart. So that your heart doesn't just, you just don't just know it and quote it with your head. But you have it sown, ready, in your heart. And when something's sown, you don't see the fruit yet, but you know that you know that you have it. You know that God is going to do what he has promised. And it goes from knowing in your head to having sown it so that you believe. The word has incredible power. Hearing the word of God has incredible power to bring you to faith. Like that woman and that man whose child was sick. It had incredible power. Just the preaching of the word has power to change you from an if uncertain to a believer who will see a miracle in your life. So faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You know, imagine a farmer. There would be no point keeping the seed in his store. So your Bible, you could imagine, is the store. the written scriptures. That's your store. But the word doesn't change you or change any circumstance. And every circumstance on earth can be changed through this principle. The word doesn't change anything until you sow it. A farmer wouldn't say, oh, I've got a fantastic store of seed. Well, what are you going to do with it then? Well, I don't know, just talk about my store. I mean, well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I like my store. I like my Bible. Look, I underline it. I can remember bits. And when they bring a reference from Hosea, I even know where it is. And it's like, don't analyze the word. Believe it. It'll only do you good when you believe it. Sow it. Because sowing it will produce. Jesus said, the seed, when it is sown, all by itself, it grows up. Amen. And produces. Because God makes it grow. It's a supernatural process. But your job is to take it from the store and sow it in your heart. And you would be a negligent believer to keep it in the store. That was nicely put. Just like a farmer, he might have loads of land and loads of seed, but he knows nothing will happen until I sow it. Until sowing becomes past tense. I have sown a field of wheat. He knows exactly. So, you know, when you ask, what are you believing for? Oh, God is good. It's going to be great. There's going to be a revival. Hallelujah. I said, what are you believing for? What word do you have? What divine seed have you planted? Because that's the principle. That's how the kingdom of God works. It only works with seed. Put it in the ground of your heart. And it will produce. Don't be airy fairy. Be a believing believer. Know what you believe God is going to do. So if someone comes to you and says, what are you believing for your children? All my children will be taught by the Lord and great will be their peace. I know what I believe for the children in this house. Fathers and mothers, listen up. Have you sown a word? The promises of God for your children. And your children's children. The generations to come. Because God works with believers who believe and have sown the seed. Sow it. The farmer knows there's no ifs. Well, if I'm lucky, I'll get wheat. What does he think? It's just going to happen. He doesn't look over his fence. You know how farmers do, because we are in the West Country. There's only one or two here this morning, but, you know, chewing the grass, looking over the field. What do you want to happen then? Just blessing. Well, how do you know you're going to get blessed? Don't know. Just feel it. Feel that's what God's going to do. Farmer works with what he knows. He knows seed works once he's planted it. And after it's in the ground, he knows what's coming. So he can be at that gate another day looking over the gate. And you can go, you can't see any evidence of anything. What are you expecting? What are you looking forward to? Oh, I'm going to have a field of wheat. I'll tell you exactly what it's going to be. It's not going to be potatoes because I know what I put in. Right. It's not by chance that I'm going to get a harvest. It's by being intentional. And Jesus, the Word of God, encourages us to think like farmers. Be a hardworking farmer. What does that mean? Parable of the sower. Flip everything around and say, if I'm going to see God do what I see in the Word, I better sow it. Because if I sow it, it's going to happen. It will grow. So we need to know the will of God. We need to sow the word. I'm going to use another testimony because I believe that it's just going to encourage what we're hearing. I read this week a story from late 60s, a miracle. And there was this medical expert, a dietitian who worked as a senior dietitian of a hospital in the States. And she was diagnosed with a terrible disease. And it was such a wicked disease that it affected her skin and her joints and every nerve ending. And she had friends who were medics and doctors, and they did everything. They moved her to every hospital they could think of just to try and diagnose, and also once they diagnosed it, to help. They tried everything that they could, but they couldn't do anything about her condition. Now, this condition is so wicked that if the lightest clothes would touch her skin, she would scream in agony. And the only way that she could sleep, they had to make a tent around her body so that the clothes, the blankets wouldn't touch her. I mean, it's the most wicked thing if you think about it. And she's grown up in church and heard about Jesus. And she would say she was a believer before. But as she lay there and her eyes began to be affected, she became bedridden. All she could do, because she couldn't read, because it was so painful, was listen. And so she had a little radio, and she began to listen to radio broadcasts. And that's why I honor the preaching of the word above all things. Because I know what you hear today might get you your victory tomorrow. Amen. Not just now. And she heard for the first time faith preaching. Not just preaching. Faith preaching. From a woman called Catherine Kuhlman. And Catherine Kuhlman was running a radio program called I Believe in Miracles. And the only thing she could do was listen to this preaching. And this woman who kept telling her that God does miracles, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever, that it's God's will to heal, it's God's will to do people good. She began to hear for the first time faith. And she changed from someone who kind of just believed that Jesus Christ died for her sins to someone who believed that healing was possible for her. She went from not knowing it to knowing it. And as she listened to the preaching of the word, she was so in it. And she got a book, one of her books on miracles. And she was sowing. She was sowing. She was sowing. And faith was coming because she was hearing the message about her need being met through Jesus Christ. I love that. And once she'd sown it, she decided she was going to take action. Because this is the third part of faith. Show it. Know it, sow it, then show it. Show me your faith, James says, by what you do. So she decided she was going to go to one of these meetings that this woman was holding. And she decided she wasn't just going to go, she was going to go and get healed. Because she believed it. She had a confidence that, because for her to get out of bed, she said, it could have killed me. Imagine going to a meeting. We just come, don't we, to hear the word of God. But for some, they might be at a point where they really need a miracle. And she booked a wheelchair, got a nephew to pick her up, and caught a bus. Now, she hadn't walked for a long time higher. She hadn't been able to lift her legs higher than a pavement. It was so excruciating. And she had to get on a bus. And the bus driver decided to come down and help her. And she screamed, "Please, don't touch me, don't touch me," because the pain when anything would touch her. She got on that bus. Look at what the Lord was seeing. Can you see what the Lord was seeing about her faith? That is showing it. That is like walking by faith, not by what you feel. This testimony is actually showing us the walk of faith when you haven't yet seen your miracle. And so she managed to get on the bus. She couldn't open. She had a thermos with her and a banana. And the lady next to her said, "Let me open that." She couldn't open the banana to eat it. She was so weak and so in agony. But this person next to her began to tell her about the miracles she'd seen. Did you know you could be someone who's telling somebody, just sitting next to them, "God does miracles. I've seen miracles." Faith, it's just such a wonderful thing, a ministry to help somebody receive their miracle. Arrived at this auditorium, couldn't get in. Can you imagine? I'd have been put off, I think. But it was life or death for her. And the door was closed, locked. She couldn't get in. And she didn't know how. There were hundreds queuing outside, because miracles always do draw a crowd. And a woman came from the crowd and said, "I believe it's your day for a miracle. Hang on." And went to knock on the side door where the wheelchairs go in. Hammered on this door for this woman to go in. But the faith that this lady had to keep going. She even said to the Lord, "Lord, you've opened a roof before and lowered somebody in. Just get me in. Get me into that environment where people believe in miracles." And so she got in, wheeled to the front row. Saw, at that point, she began to see the children that were disabled in their parents' arms being presented, you know, to the Lord, asking God for a miracle. And she was so moved, she said, "Oh Lord, I'd rather you healed them than me." And her heart wasn't selfish. I mean, look at her heart. It's incredible compassion, even in her situation. "I want those children healed." And at that moment, someone touched her shoulder and said, "Do you feel you could stand?" And she said, "When they touched me, I felt normal. There was no pain." And she got up, she testified, and God did what man cannot cure, a wonderful miracle of healing. We love the ending. But it might have been harder if we'd come to listen to the knowing, the sowing, and even the showing. Because that's faith, beloved. Faith isn't unspecific. It isn't general. It's clear. When Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's clear. I know what my need is. And as has been preached throughout the generations, I need to have a seed for it. Because every need requires a promise, divine seed. And I need to sow that seed so that faith can come into my heart and accept the word of God on it. That I believe it before I see it. And then I need to show it. Finally, that's the third stage, show it. You know how faith is seen? There are two important things. If you want to show what you know and have sown. See, I told you it would rhyme. If you want to show it, there are two clear things in Scripture to show your faith. The first thing is that your faith always speaks. It always speaks the promise, not the problem. Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, he spoke it before he saw the evidence of it dried up the next morning. Amen. Before you can be saved, Romans tells us, you have to believe first, which can only come by hearing the word, sowing the seed in your heart. Before you speak, you need to believe. So speaking faith is connected with your heart. It's not just saying, not believing. But saying it over and over again over your own heart will sow it to the point where you know it and you believe it. And Jesus actually tells us that we are to hold fast the good confession. Hold fast when your body is still in pain. Hold fast when there's a bad report. Hold fast in speaking what God says, not what's happening to you. The negative things that are happening. Faith confession. There's always a relationship between your heart and mouth, scripturally speaking. And confession means to say the same as God. Yes. Simply line everything up, your words up, with what God has said. See, if we confess the problem, I've just written this down, I've nearly finished. Confess the problem. It's like taking a delivery of a lorry load of trouble. You know when you have the postman sign up, you have to sign for something sometimes. If you keep confessing your problems, the negativity, how you feel, the symptoms going down, everything's so bad, it's so awful, you wouldn't believe how bad it is. There's no evidence at all of what God has said, nowhere around me. If you keep saying that, a lorry load of trouble's on its way. Because Jesus says you will have what you say. That's why it's really important to speak blessing over children. To bless our children, not curse. To speak a blessing. Because our children will grow up having heard the words we speak. Now, it's not that you don't discipline them when they're wrong, because that's also the will of God. But you don't tell them they're nothing and no good. You say, that was clearly wrong. And we need to see a correction. But you don't tell them how bad they are, awful they are. You don't scream and shout at them. Your words have power, you see. And that child could grow up believing that they're stupid for the rest of their lives, because that's what's been said. But God has nothing but good words to say. And he's given us his good word, his promises for our children. Amen. But if we want to take delivery of a miracle, then I'm going to confess what God says, the promise I'm going to say. Recently, I'm nearly finished. It's not bad, it's 5 to 12. We've got another. No. I've been talking about the country, Brexit. I'm really interested in politics. I love the news, I love to listen to what's happening, and I'm praying. And we're going to have a powerful prayer meeting this next week, because we need to. Because that's what we need. This nation needs prayer more than anything at the moment. And that's not just prayer, it's believing prayer. But, you know, you can look at everything and you can get concerned. And, you know, you can feel like listening to the news, listening to the reports, wondering what if, What if that happens? What if this happens? There's the if. Don't know if you noticed. We need a promise for our country, don't we? Not an if. We trust the Lord with all things. But also, you know, you might not think it because I'm so young and sprightly, but I think about my age sometimes and how late I've come into any kind of financial life, because I lived by faith for many, many years and didn't have a salary, didn't have an income that I could sort of say I could buy a house or do anything with. God has blessed me. It's fine. But, you know, naturally speaking, there are a lot of challenges for my future, especially when you look at the country. Can I just say naturally? And I was talking with a friend about, you know, pensions, and it was like, oh gosh, you know, gosh, is there going to be a pot? Where's the pot? You know, by the time I get to there, is there going to be one? Am I talking honest? Might not be a pot, darling. And so I was sitting there going, I'm going, phew. And then I thought, get back on the word. Hang on. And because I've sown the word, I can be hearing. But if I've sown the word, I can have a promise ready. And Psalm 5, verse 12 is a cracker if you want to make sure that you'll always have a pot. How many of you want to make sure you'll always have a pot? God's my pension. I mean, you need to be wise, but in Him we trust. I'm not against pensions. Hello. I'm not against laying up stuff for the future, because a wise man, a good man will do certain things to prepare. There is a biblical basis for that, but in the end, who do we trust? The pot or God? And Psalm 5:12, surely you will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Hang on a minute. Surely you will bless the Judith. With favor. With favor. Not with lack. Not, God will protect my future. The enemy's not going to rob. Amen. I know it. I've sown it. And I'm showing it right now. Amen. You see, unless you sow the seed, the harvest isn't coming. It's not going to drop out of the sky. It's going to grow out of your heart. And now don't get panicky. Just get some good seed and start sowing it. Because your future, the miracles, the work of God, the salvation of houses and families, the salvation and healing of the world is dependent on you sowing the seed. What about believers will lay hands on the sick? If you don't believe it, if you go, well, I wonder if it's God's will. Hang on a minute. Lord, is it your will to heal David? I am willing.
Yes, amen.
If you're not convinced of that, how are you going to go, Lord, in your time, your way, please try. I know you're able, Lord, but I'm not so sure. I mean, it's not going to do anything.
No.
Believers will lay hands on the sick. Praise God, you're going to recover.
Amen.
I mean, before I've got my hand on him, I know he's going to get.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But I've sown it. And I'm going for the greater thing still.
Amen.
Ooh, for you. This church will be known as a place for the desperate.
Come on.
That they can come into this environment, because it's a faith environment. Because God works wherever we believe. Why did the atmosphere change in that conference? The word. Why did that woman on that sickbed change? The word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. But wise up, beloved. It won't work outside soil. And if you want a future where you see a harvest of the word of God, then start the process. Know it, sow it, show it. Finally, I said, faith speaks, but faith also acts. And you need to show your faith by what you do. So you're speaking, but also you're acting, right? That woman got a bus. I mean, really, she got a bus. The woman at that conference went upstairs to pray for a child, going to get healed. It's God's will. It's different. You've got to act. Jairus, finally, the devil doesn't want you to keep going in faith. He wants to get you to give up because it's taking a long time coming. Yes. How do you know there are promises that take a long time coming? And you need patience. Faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Through faith and patience. What is patience? It's like the seed, the farmer has sown it. He's patient, it's okay, it's on its way, it's no problem. In due season, I will reap. It's okay, I can wait. And I can wait with expectation. That's what faith is. Faith is waiting with expectation. That the harvest is on its way. And the devil wants to steal that seed. And he wants to take the promises out of your life. Jairus had a bad report in the middle of his growing that miracle with Jesus. He's walking along, you know, and he gets a bad report. Your daughter has died. I mean, that's a pretty naff report. I can't think of anything worse that would make you want to give up. Can you? Your heart would break. You'd be broken up. And yet Jesus, who's always here, faithful friend, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He doesn't just begin it, he's going to see it through. Jesus speaks and he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only. Your job. Church's work, God's work is carried out through only believe. And what did Jairus do? He shut out those negative voices. He went back to Jesus and said, right, I'll carry on because you said it. Not in my own strength, Lord, but because you're with me. And I know that I can, with your grace, see the fulfillment of every good thing that you've spoken. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful healer. Wonderful need meter. Wonderful promises. He will never fail, providing we know, sow, and show. Yes, let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.